The headlines this hour: Hamas hails as heroic a shooting operation in the West Bank that injured several Israeli soldiers, calling the move a natural response to the regime's crimes and aggression. Sweden's prime minister says the country could be facing a war winter as European nations grapple with an energy crisis. Plus, the German government announces yet another economic package as part of its measures to tackle soaring inflation. Thanks for joining us. An Israeli military bus has come under fire in the occupied West Bank, wounding several troops. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has hailed, quote, the heroic shooting operation. A Ramallah correspondent, Mona Kandil, gives us the details.
The latest, according to the Israeli military, is that seven Israelis, including six Israeli soldiers, were wounded while they were inside a Israeli military, bus near the Jordan Valley. They say that Palestinians were in a truck. They stopped the truck close to the bus and they opened fire. At least eight or even more bullets were shot at this bus, wounding seven Israelis, including six Israeli soldiers, near the illegal settlement of Al-Hamra and close to the Palestinian village of Khirbet Atouf, the Biqa'a Valley. Immediately, those two Palestinians and the Israeli military also said they had gasoline. They poured the gasoline on the bus in order to light it on fire. They succeeded to escape immediately, but Israeli soldiers were deployed in that area searching for Palestinians. They chased a vehicle where it burned, actually, and they arrested two Palestinians, and they were also suffering from burns as well. The Israeli military said that those two Palestinians are involved in the shooting and that the Israeli soldiers are still searching for other Palestinians that they believe had taken part in the shooting. Israeli military raided the village of Atouf following this operation because the Israeli military, according to a statement issued, they believe that there are more Palestinians who took part in the shooting operation that was carried out in the Jordan Valley. Palestinian groups have praised the operation or the shooting at the Israeli military bus. Hamas movement, for instance, praised the shooting, describing it as a natural response to the non-stop Israeli occupation crimes against the Palestinian people and to the Israeli raids to the Al-Aqsa Mosque as well.
Mossad Nim is a professor of political science at Birzeit University. He says Palestinians have the legal right to react to the Israeli atrocities.
We have to react to the Israeli atrocities because the Israelis, they don't understand but one language, which is violence versus violence. In the case of violence, then they will be more cautious and they will be more even thinking about whatever they are doing in the West Bank. But once there is no reaction at all and nobody is doing anything, definitely they will escalate and more escalation of their atrocities against Al-Aqsa Mosque, against Jerusalem, and against the rest of the occupied West Bank. So definitely this is a kind of a natural reaction by the Palestinians to resist this occupation. Plus, what are these soldiers doing in our land? They are occupiers, and definitely, by definition, then we have the right to defend our land and to resist these soldiers and these occupiers in any way we find it appropriate. So definitely, our reaction or the Palestinian reaction is absolutely not only in place, but I would say also it was a little bit too late. We need even more than that.
The UN says Israel has razed around 9,000 Palestinian structures in the occupied territory since the year 2009. According to the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, the figure includes hundreds of homes which the residents were forced to self-demolish. The latest such incident took place in Al-Quds, where three Palestinian families were forced to destroy the building that they lived on Saturday. The UN body says the policy has displaced 13,000 Palestinians and negatively affected the lives of 152,000 others. Buildings are demolished with excuse that they lack construction permits, even though many were built decades ago. Israel also tears down the homes of Palestinians suspected of carrying out attacks, practice that human rights groups say is an unfair act of collective punishment. International lawyer Barry Grossman has told us whether, from a legal perspective, Israel has the authority to demolish homes in the occupied West Bank.
This ongoing catastrophe is a legacy of the Oslo Accords, because on any view, nobody maintains that West Bank Palestinian territory is a part of the occupation territories that are recognized by many people in the Atlantic world as being Israel. This is not Israeli territory. This is Palestinian territory. And the idea that the process for erecting and maintaining buildings and doing other civil works, should somehow rest with the occupation military and the occupation legal system because it impacts on their security is absurd. If we were to include in the equation all of those homes destroyed by the occupation military in places like Gaza, the number would be much, much, much higher. It would be several times higher, possibly even an order of magnitude higher. It's completely absurd. It's clearly illegal. It's illegal under international law. It's being collective punishment. It's generally illegal in almost every jurisdiction on the planet. It's unacceptable. And it's just as unacceptable that the world stands by and says and does nothing while they continue to do this.
The energy crisis in Europe is snowballing as nations across the continent continue to grapple with rising costs and supply shortages ahead of the cold season. Sweden is planning to offer liquidity guarantees worth billions of dollars to Nordic and Baltic energy companies to help them avert a financial crisis. Sweden's prime minister says the country could be facing what she calls a war winter. Meanwhile, in the Czech Republic's capital, Prague, tens of thousands of people have staged a protest, calling on their government to step in to tame energy prices. Protesters want their country to be neutral militarily and to enter into direct contracts with gas suppliers, including Russia. Energy prices are growing in the Czech Republic and other European countries following a drop in gas supplies from Russia. Sweden is not the only country trying to cushion the blow from the energy crisis in Europe. Germany is also working on measures of its own. The German government has approved the 65 billion euro inflation relief package to ease pressure on households, as Russian gas supplies are dwindling and energy bills soaring. Berlin says timely and proportionate relief is necessary for citizens and businesses so that they can cope with the high energy costs. Germany is bracing for a shortage of supply as well, since Russia shut down the Nord Stream pipeline a few days ago, citing repairs and technical problems. Germany's network regulator is giving assurances that for now there is a sufficient supply, but says the situation is fluid and could worsen rapidly. Inflation is soaring in India, prompting thousands of people to rally in the capital, New Delhi, to protest against the surge in the prices of essential commodities. Police scuffled with protesters making some arrests. Protest rally was organized by the opposition Congress Party. The party's leader in Parliament's lower house also attended the protest rally. Chaudhry blamed Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government for not doing enough to curb soaring unemployment and rising food and fuel prices in the country. Chaudhry said that Indian grassroots are bearing the brunt of the high inflation.
The message that Congress has about inflation for Prime Minister Narendra Modi is that the common people of the country are reeling under inflation. In this situation, their financial conditions are crumbling. Modi speaks a lot, but he should also talk about the common people so that they get some relief.
Congress Party leader Rahul Gandhi also accused Modi of discrimination against the poor. In an address to the crowd, he said that Modi is pursuing policies benefiting big business groups at the expense of small and medium industries, as well as farmers and workers. He also said the government is creating an atmosphere of fear and hatred in the country. The Sunday rally came ahead of elections for several state assemblies later this year and early 2023, including in Modi's home state of Gujarat. The results are likely to impact the country's next national elections due in 2024. Inflation seems to be one of the major concerns among Indian voters. India's headline inflation hit an 8-year high of nearly 7.8% in April. Flood-stricken Pakistan is warning of further deluges as a lake in the south of the country swells from unprecedented monsoon rains. Authorities are urging villagers in areas near Lake Manchar to evacuate. The water has already reached a dangerous level, and more downpours are expected in the coming days. The warning comes just days after the government launched a fresh appeal for further international aid to tackle the natural disaster. Pakistan is going through its worst ever monsoon floods, with over 70% of the country inundated and over 1,100 people dead. Officials blame climate change for the frequency and the intensity of the extreme weather. The U.S.'s history of occupation and intervention in Latin America spans almost 200 years. The U.S. has been present in countries from the north of the continent in one way or another to achieve its own goals. But now the latest U.S. attempts to intervene in Cuba's affairs have drawn a backlash from officials there.
American intervention in Latin America began in 1823 when President James Monroe declared the continent to be a U.S. sphere of influence. Under the Monroe Doctrine, Washington claimed the right to intervene militarily across Latin America. That led to the Banana Wars, in which the U.S. military fought to reassert American power and monopoly of plantations in Central America, Mexico, and the Caribbean. Washington has so far orchestrated and supported many coups across Latin America that have been characterized as U.S. foreign policy in the region since the early 20th century. Throughout history, there's been a lot of U.S. meddling in Latin America, especially in Central America. U.S. foreign policy towards Central America heightened during the Cold War and the spread of the leftist movements and revolutions. Many believe that the success of the Cuban Revolution in the 1950s made the U.S. nervous to think that there could be political superpowers like the USSR at the time, leading them and getting involved in what they perceived as their backyard. All this set the stage for a sustained and violent U.S. intervention across Central America, backing vicious local allies in wars that claimed thousands of lives and displaced millions. The latest U.S. attempts of intervening in Latin America in its long list of interventions is considered as what it calls funding for democracy promotion in Cuba. Havana has, however, slammed the move, saying it's illegal and aimed at toppling the government. Let's not forget the USAID program in Cuba. As it was reported at the time, the U.S. secretly created Cuban Twitter to stir unrest and undermine the government of President at the time, Fidel Castro. It started a social network built on texts in hope that it could be used to organize smart mobs to trigger a Cuban spring. The island nation, which is currently facing its worst economic crisis in decades amid U.S. sanctions, announced electricity blackouts this month. Along with soaring food, fuel, and medicine prices as shortage grips, people are observing long queues for necessities. The U.S. trade embargo, which has been in place against Cuba since 1962, was reinforced under former President Donald Trump. Meanwhile, Trump's successor has also chosen to follow the same path. U.S. intervention has gone far enough that some Congress lawmakers have even advocated for bombing strikes.
We can go back to 1960, in fact, and the Mallory Rubottom memo, it's a State Department memo, that lays out the scenario that Cuba is experiencing today. It says that as secretly as the wording is actually as inconspicuously as possible to disrupt the livelihoods, the employment, the income of the Cuban people. So this has been a policy ever, you know, since 1960, April 6, 1960. The other part of that is that they intend to press the people into rebellion against the government. So clearly, regime change is part of the program.
Bolivia's former president, Evo Morales, has in an exclusive interview with Press TV explained how the U.S. lost its superpower status and its grip over South America.
The U.S. is not a superpower anymore. It's not controlling South America anymore. Why are they not an economic superpower? Well, right now, they have inflation and economic problems. They have provoked this conflict between Russia and Ukraine with NATO. Now, they are having economic problems. It's a bit ridiculous to see that the U.S. president is negotiating with Maduro to buy oil. This is something that should be evaluated, or we should ask ourselves what's going on. In 1940, if I'm not mistaken, 40% of the world's GDP was...
Morales says South America used to be the U.S. backyard, but is now a neighborhood. He also pointed to the U.S. exclusion of Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua at the Summit of the Americas earlier this year. He recalled how several countries boycotted the event in solidarity with those three countries, and many of the participating states spoke out against their absence. Morales said some presidents even questioned the U.S. democracy on its own soil and criticized its foreign military invasions. And that does it for World News. It's bye-bye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsetodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsetodayEnglish. Listeners special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, September 4th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard in this program. Dear listeners, I, on behalf of all IRIB English radio staff, express my condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace upon him, the second infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Please stay with us until the end of the program. Dear listeners, this is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us. And here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh, Juan Koba from Spain, and Bill McDavid from the US. Thank you very much, Bashir, Bill, and Juan. It shows your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And here I do send my appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails from around the world, including Akbar Haidar from Pakistan, Pradeep Chandra from India. Again, from India, we've received an email from K.M. Raju. And from Finland, we have an email from Olof Ratovara, one of our old and regular listeners. And the last but not the least, we have an email from Alex Choroba from Germany. So after a short break, I will be back with you to see what these emails says. Welcome back. As I said, Akbar Haidar from Pakistan has sent us an email. Let's see what Akbar Haidar says. Dear staff of IRIB English Radio, I had a chance to listen to a piece of Iranian music and also my very favorite mailbox program, Listeners Special. Kindly send me new program schedule and frequency schedule and printed QSL or EQSL card. Thank you. Salam Akbar Haidar from Pakistan, and please accept our appreciations to you for this email. We are always ready, and we always welcome our dear listeners' attitudes about our broadcast and, of course, the quality of the programs. So please let us know which programs or program you like the best and which programs are your favorite. Surely, Akbar Haidar from Pakistan, in the time of pandemic, sending any material on behalf of our radio is halted. So in order to find our frequency schedule, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find the frequency schedule. But for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL card as verification. Akbar Haidar from Pakistan, again, thank you for sending us this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And from India, we've received an email from Pradeep Chandra. Let's see what Pradeep says. Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, warm greetings from India. This email is to inform you that IRIB English Radio program has not been audible well here for many days. Few days ago, I could listen to your English program considerably well, which made me want to submit you a reception report. Kindly check the contents of this report with attached audio clips. I would appreciate your QSL verification card in return. With regards and best wishes. Salam, Pradeep Chandra from India, and warm greetings to you as well. Thank you very much for sending us this email. I'm very sorry for the trouble you had regarding the audio, but the good news is that our technicians at IRIB English Radio will fix the problem soon, if the problem is at our behalf. I also thank you for the reception report you sent, so please accept our electronic QSL card as verification. We wish you all the best. Pradeep Chandra from India, and we're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And dear listeners of Listeners Special, after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received another email from India from K.M. Raju. K.M. Raju says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, hello and thank you for your service. I accidentally turned into your English radio and I have become a radio listener since. It would be great if you do me a favor and send me your radio frequency guide as well as a few cultural books of your country. Thank you. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. K.M. Raju from India, thank you very much for sending this email to your radio, IRIB English Radio. What a sweet experience. I mean, to be accidentally familiar with IRIB English Radio, that's a sweet experience. So please accept our EQSL card as a verification and confirmation. As you know, in the time of pandemic, sending any material on behalf of our radio is not possible. So please accept this electronic QSL card as a verification. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. K.M. Raju from India. And from Finland, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, Olof Ratuvara. Olof says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, greetings from Finland. Thank you for verifying my listening report. In my opinion, the program I heard was good and useful. There are interesting articles and mindful lectures on Islamic issues which I listen to. You are doing a great job. Best regards, your listener from Finland, Olof." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. And of course, IRIB English Radio to you, Olof, from Finland. Thank you very much for this email, Olof. So, you recently listened to a program on Islamic issues and it seems that you enjoyed it. And generally, it seems that you like articles and the lectures on Islamic issues, Olof from Finland, and we're so happy for that. We're really happy that you enjoy the program, so please accept our, EQSL card as verification. Wish you all the best, Olof from Finland. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Germany from Alex Turoba. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Alex Choroba from Germany. He says, "Dear Madam or Sir, I would like to report a reception of your radio broadcast. Enclosed, you can find my reception report and an audio record as evidence for my reception. I would be glad very much to receive a QSL card of your station for my collection. Sincerely yours. Salam and warm greetings to you, Alex from Germany, and thank you very much for sending us this email. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card of IRIB English Radio as confirmation. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Alex Jaroba from Germany. Dear listeners, before wrapping up this week's edition of Listeners Special, I, again, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, express my condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace upon him, the second infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Thank you very much for being with us. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and your program, Listeners Special. God bless you and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is the member you are listening to. May Allah accept your mourning for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Today we invite you to listen to an English lecture by Brother Amin Rastani.
These next nights, inshallah, I want to discuss different topics in regards to the azah of Imam Hussein, the remembrance of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The Azadar of Imam Hussein, brothers and sisters, because of all these things that I talked about, is a uniting element in the community. Imam Hussein united. So the Azadar of Imam Hussein will unite. What am I talking about here? Brothers and sisters, people do things differently. There are different cultures out there, different languages out there. And so when people do things differently, when it comes to the azah of Imam Hussein, they'll do it differently too. Oh, this is how you do it. Subhanallah, mashallah. As a matter of fact, some of our brothers, they're in Karbala right now. And you know, they post some of the stuff that they see there. They post it online. You see it on social media. So one of our guys, he had posted some of the matam of the Iranians there. Right? And so I messaged him because he hasn't seen something like this before yet. I was like, yeah, that's how the Iranians do it. It's very different. You see, he's like, yeah, but he was really liking it. Yeah, subhanAllah, this is beautiful. That we acknowledge, we honor each other the way we do things. Instead of the moment I see a difference, though this one does it like this, that one does it like that. And alhamdulillah, here in our community and other communities, this is not really the case. I'm trying to prevent that we never go in that direction. That we say that, okay, you don't do it like this, so you're anti the whole institution now. No. No, no, no. This is like the last thing we need when it comes to the azadari of Imam Hussein. Every person does it differently. And so I will honor it. And mashallah, you see this. Look at Iraq right now, what's going on, you know? They don't care. People come with all their different flags. And, you know, it's beautiful when you see this. That look, I'm from Ireland, I'm from, I don't know, India, I'm from here, I'm from there. But man, does al-Hussein unite. Why? Because there's so much ikhlas in what he did. And so if I have that ikhlas, I have to unite. If I'm not uniting and I'm dividing, then there is a problem. Because trust me guys, there is nothing else out there that can unite as much as Imam Hussein can. And if I'm not able to unite through Imam Hussein, then there is an issue. And I have to revisit, inshallah, and think that over. We can't make people that are around us uncomfortable. In our majlis, for example, it should be open. Yes. Oh, this person's like this, that person's like that. Oh, there is none of that with the majlis of Imam Hussein. Peer pressure even. Sometimes you get this, you sense peer pressure a little bit here or there. We're in a certain group, certain clique, that's fine. But if someone wants to also be part of that group, but they want to do things, they might even be scared to do certain things. I can't give them this uncomfortable feeling as if they don't belong there anymore. Yeah, sometimes parents will talk to you about these things. They say, yeah, my son or daughter, they're in this group, but because they're just not like the rest, they don't feel welcome in this group that's doing things for Imam Hussein. No, inshallah, we make everyone feel welcome. I say this to the younger ones as well, especially. As we're growing up, as this banner of Imam Hussein is being passed on to us, that's what we need to be very careful about, inshallah. Our forefathers did it like that. May Allah bless them. And so for us moving forward, it's going to, inshallah, be the same thing. We are here to unite, not here to divide. As a matter of fact, I want to share with you some poetry in Farsi. That look, the awliya, the prophets, that's what they came. They came to unite. They didn't come to divide. They came to put our hand in the hand of Allah. In one way or another, not to make sure that we pull our hand from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they are divisive. That was the last thing they wanted. So there is a story that Ar-Rumi mentions. Some of you have heard it, I know. It's the story of Musa and the shepherd. All right? So, there's a lesson in this. It says, "Did Musa yek shabani ra birah, kuhami goft ay guzinande ilah." One time Prophet Musa saw somebody. He saw a shepherd. That he is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is calling unto Allah. To kujayi ta shavam man chakirat. Charaqat duzam kunam shanis sarat. Oh Allah, where are you? So that I can sew and stitch up your shoe if your shoe is broken. So that I can comb your hair, O Allah. So that I can be your slave and servant, serve you. Jama'at shuyam, and then there's a word here I don't even know. Shir pishat avaram, ey muhtasham. I want to wash your clothes, O Allah. So right here, me being the philosopher that I am, shaking my head. You know? How dare you speak to Allah? You are giving as if God is a human being like the rest of us. How dare you attribute clothing to Allah? Shoes to Allah. Combing your hair for God's sake. combing God's hair for God's sake. You see what I did there? دستت بوسم بمالم پایت وقت خواب آید بروبم جایت. When it's time to sleep, I broom and sweep the place you want to sleep. I kiss your hand, I massage your feet. ای فدای تو همه بزهای من. All my goats be sacrificed for you, O Allah. He's a shepherd, that's all he's got, right? May all my goats die for you, O Allah. Alright, so it goes on. Then Musa alayhi salam, it says, asked him, like, who are you talking to? He said, I'm talking to Allah. Prophet Musa is like, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. And so he gets all ghirati. How dare you talk to Allah like this? He says, Goft Musa, hai bas mudbir shudi. You just turned away from Allah with what you're saying. Khud musalman nashude kafir shudi. You're barely Muslim. Before even becoming Muslim, you're already kafir, bro. Yeah, the bro part is from me, of course. You are already kafir, like you didn't even, you're barely Muslim, you turned kafir already. Anyway, he scolds him and reproaches him and calls him out on this and so on. Whoa. And so in the end it says this shepherd's like, yo, you know, I'm like, ajab qalati karda, like what a mistake I made. Like I shouldn't have said nothing. He says, Musa, you really like shut, you know, you shut me up and you, I got nothing to say, and he leaves. Then the revelation comes to Musa. From who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وحی آمد سوی موسی از خدا بنده ما را از ما کردی جدا. وحی comes from Allah that you separated our servant from us. What are you doing? تو برای وصل کردن. This is the highlight right here. تو برای وصل کردن آمدی. You came for وصل. To connect. If everyone is going to be infallible and perfect like you and no theology and philosophy, Sheikh, then there wouldn't be no point. There'd be no need. یا برای فصل کردن آمدی. What are you here for? Anyway, it goes on and Prophet Musa learns that, wow, I made such a mistake. Yes, brothers and sisters, Imam Hussein is that last hope. I'm sorry. If Imam Hussein can't get the job done, I don't know what can. And so we have to be very careful to use Imam Hussein in a positive way always, inshallah. And that is what you see. The trajectories have always been, alhamdulillah, because of the barakat of Imam Hussein. Now this is where the parents come in. We owe a lot, younger guys, we owe a lot to our parents for putting our hand in the hand of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. There's such beautiful poetry about how my mother, my father gave me the hub of Hussein alayhi salam, the love of Hussein alayhi salam. We don't have time to get into that, but I just want to share with you a few hadiths. For those of us, sometimes we feel like, yeah, the parents, whatever. Okay, just like everybody else. No. We have to see our parents as an opportunity to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you see them as a person who is, their respect is wajib. Sometimes you see them as a means of qurbah ilallah, getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A means to getting close to Allah. Like this is something that I have to look at in this way. Now yes, I understand. We won't see eye to eye sometimes. We will struggle sometimes. We won't be able to connect with each other sometimes. There will be a generational gap sometimes, a cultural gap sometimes. But hey, that's why it's a test. If everything was perfect, it would be no test. Correct? And so we have to understand this is just how it's going to be. Do as much damage control as I can. Be very careful. Yes, I don't have to necessarily adjust my life exactly the way they want. We have to get along, sit down and speak to each other and all of that. But the respect has to always be there. I mean, Imam Sajjad, he says it in Sahifa Sajjadiyah when he's doing dua for his parents. He's doing dua for them. He says, even if they did dhulm to me. Like, what else out there is worse than dhulm? Now, of course, it's not saying allow them to keep doing dhulm or anything like that. Or justifying them in what, if God forbid, dhulm is happening or other things are happening. But all in all, there's a message being sent out here by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and that is that look, at the end of the day, this is what the test is going to be like. So I want to share with you a few hadiths here on parents as well, who we owe the love of Imam Hussein to them for setting us up for this.
Swear to Allah, wherever I face troubles in my life. I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be looking at a question, and that question is very suitable to the day today. As you know, today is, according to some narrations, albeit a weak narration, the martyrdom of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba. And we would like to offer our condolences to our esteemed listeners on this most grave and solemn day and occasion, which is the martyrdom of Hassan ibn Ali, who was not only one of the a'imma alayhi salam of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, but also he is somebody who is accepted by all Muslims, and even the followers of other makatib and schools of thought. They also accept Imam Hassan not only as the grandson of the Prophet and as a virtuous person, but also as one of the caliphs, because for a portion of time he actually had the caliphate. We would like to again offer our condolences to our listeners. Today on The Key, we're going to be asking a question regarding Imam Hassan alayhi salam's virtues. What were his virtues? And why do we revere him so much? And the answer to this question, fortunately, it can be discovered when we turn to the hadith and narrations which have been related regarding his numerous virtues. Right, so here today on The Key, we'll recite for you a very beautiful hadith in which the generosity, first of all, the generosity of Imam Hassan, the patience of Imam Hassan, and his his nobleness and magnanimity are manifested very clearly, and we can see it here manifested in this story, in this account. This story says that a man from Syria says that he says, I came to Medina and saw a man whose beauty astonished me. So I asked who this man was and was told he is Hassan ibn Ali. The Syrian man said, I envied Ali for having such a son. He was envious of him. So I went to him and asked, are you the son of Abu Talib? He replied, "Indeed, I am his grandson." I then said, "Curses be upon you and your father. Curses be upon you and your father." He repeated this twice. He observed silence. Imam Hassan alayhi salam remained silent and did not reply. He remained silent. Then he said, "I see you are a stranger in the town. Should you need a ride, we will provide you with one. Should you have any needs, we will fulfill them. We will fulfill them for you. Should you need any help, we will help you." Upon hearing this, the man said, "I left him in a state whereby no one on earth was more beloved to me than him." Right? So this person, he outwardly and openly, explicitly cursed the imam and scorned him. But the imam displayed patience in this. He did not respond to him. He offered his help to the imam. And in this, we see the imam's great virtue, his magnanimity, his nobleness, and his patience. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the virtues of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترك همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The following is a part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with Friday prayer leaders from across the country in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on July 27, 2022.
Just being amongst the people is an important task in itself. Some people making inappropriate interpretations about the very valuable public visits of officials is wrong. In fact, these people have been misled. Going amongst the people, talking and listening to them is important. You might not agree with everything they say, but at least listen to them. There is nothing wrong with telling them you don't agree with what they're saying. This is not a problem, but let them talk. So being present amongst the people is another matter. I understand some people go to the Friday prayer leaders and ask them for things which are not a part of the Friday prayer leaders' responsibilities. A government official or some judiciary official may be responsible for that issue. Instead of going to them, they go to the Friday prayer leader who is more accessible to them. I know this exists. I've been in that situation myself. I've seen it. This creates problems for the Friday prayer leader. You need to tell people that these matters are not part of my job. And for example, there is a certain official who deals with that.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
At the same time, if people come to you, you need to listen to them. I must say, though, that up until now, the network of the Friday prayer leaders has been one of the most popular institutions of the revolution. This should also be known. That is, when one looks at the set of revolutionary institutions, which, thank Allah, have many blessings, one of the most popular revolutionary institutions is the network of the Friday prayer leaders. Another piece of advice I have, and which is very important, is communicating with the youth. In order to do this, you need to establish a process. That is, you cannot have a relationship with the youth by telling them, come, and expect them to come rushing to you. You need to sit down, think, and find a solution. You need to find a way. Today, there are voluntary, self-effacing, low-cost, unpretentious groups all over the country who do cultural work, social work, and some that provide services to others. They are everywhere in the country. I have a special interest in these groups. That is why they sometimes call and explain some issue, or they want something. I know there are groups like this all over the country, and they exist in almost all the big and small cities. Search for them in your city. Find them, help them, support and encourage them. These groups are made up of young people.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.